Blog Talk Radio.
Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord, for he is worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of all praise. No other name but the name of Jesus, and which is the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of our magnificent God. And oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Glorious and victorious day it is, another milestone, another day in which the Lord has made that we must rejoice and be glad in it. You tuned into the Pilgrim's Journey, where we walk the walk as we talk the talk. And we know that God orders the steps of a righteous man, and though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. Isn't there times in your life, I want you to reflect back, whether it was yesterday, the day before yesterday, last week, or the previous month, maybe even the previous year, that you did not live the expectation in which you desired to live and to implement the very works that your heart desired to implement. Well, see, man judges the outer appearance. Know this, but God judges the heart. And when your heart is pure, despite your error, despite your shortcoming, God will cover you under the blood of Jesus. He will blot out your transgression. He will look beyond your faults and, oh, see your needs. And he will supplant and supply your need. Hear me today. According to his riches in glory. Glorious day it is. Another day that the Lord has made, that we must rejoice and be glad in it. It's Sunday, May, you already know, it's the 21st of 2023 here on the Pilgrim Journey. Let me tell you something. Though the journey is oftentimes tedious, sometimes there's forks in the middle of the road. Sometimes the road bends around curves and areas that we had no intention of encountering. But God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, guides us. He leads us down the straight and the narrow way, that we may rejoice in this path that he has paved so very excellently for each and every one of us. And as we are walking up this King's Highway, we must retain our focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is what makes us steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the Word of God. And we know, as Jesus our Lord told us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And God speaks life unto the living. He speaks quickening to those who are brokenhearted, to those who are oppressed. He raises them up. He lifts them up from the pit of despair. There's someone out here and listening, Radio Land, as even we're going forth today, that needs a word of encouragement. You prayed about it. You've cried about it. You've even gone as far to worry about it, become depressed about it. But I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, all is well. You know why all is well? Because consider our Lord, Jesus Christ. When he was on the ship, you all know the story, and the turbulence began to set in. The boat began to rock. The disciples, they were fearful that the boat was going to capsize, and they weren't going to be able to complete their journey. They became worried. They became fragmented. Jesus, knowing them, that they had not fully allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to govern their thoughts, he discerned their fear and their distress. What did our Lord do? He looked at those stormy and raging waves upon the sea and those winds that were so turbulent in its capacity. And what did he say? Peace be still. The moment that he spoke that phrase, peace be still, the winds calmed and those raging and turbulent waves did cease. I hear through the power of the Holy Spirit on this day, Jesus is speaking to you as he's spoken to me. All is well. Peace be still. That means no more worrying, no more fear, no more uncertainty, no more doubting, no more disparaging thoughts. When he says it, that settles it. No man, no woman, no force on this earth or beyond can change the outcome of what God says. And Jesus Christ and God are one. He said, I am my Father, are one. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So when he says it, that settles it. So we need to rejoice and put on those shouting shoes, because there's some dynamic and miraculous breakthroughs that are going to come interplanetary domain right to us. Deliverance, prosperity, physical healing, revitalization, recovery, recovery. That word recovery is sticking out to me. Recovery means that you have gained back what you thought was lost or was taken from you. God has given it back to you in a multiplicity fashion. He has resurfaced, realigned, and redesigned his program of excellence concerning us. Oh, when he spoke to us in his word and said that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That weapon that was intended to misguide us, misappropriate us, take us off the journey, has been eliminated. Glory, hallelujah, to his name. Don't you know that God sends out his legions of angels to pave the way for us, to defeat our enemies, to destroy the strongholds, to eliminate our foes, our enemies? Because why? The power of his word activated within us brings about the miraculous on the interplanetary domain. And I'm telling you, I'm rejoicing. I'm praising God for the victories that we are receiving on this week. I tell you, my God, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, and even heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And it's even at the name of Jesus that every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Oh, how sweet is that name. For God has given him a name above every name. Oh, my God. Just say, God, you are excellent. You are awesome. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a great God. He rules from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. I just want you to take time to elevate. So many of us have deflated, condescended. It's time for us to elevate. Lift up that head that was bowed down in fear and distress and depression and oppression. And lift your eyes to the hills, from whence came your help. And raise your hands unto the Lord and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Because we all know that God does dwell in the midst of praise. And we praise him for just giving us the victory. Oh, my God, my God. Just look at Joshua when he fought the battle of Jericho. Everybody was looking for him to fail and his army to fail. Oh, he went around the wall seven times. Seven reflects the victory, the completion of God. And what happened? What happened? You know what happened. That whole wall came tumbling down. Even the scripture said that your enemies will come at you one way, but they'll flee from you seven. Because we have the very essence of being covered under his feathers, under his wings, that we trust is our shield and our buckler. Oh, praise his holy name. This word of knowledge has to come forth. There's somebody out in listening radio land. I don't know who you are, but God knows who you are. Don't depart from the faith. The enemy has tried to show you people that don't worship God and acknowledge God. He has shown you how they're prospering and they seem to be blossoming and everything is going well with them. And you've been experiencing turbulence, distress, frustration, disappointment. God's about to turn that disappointment into divine appointment. Do you hear me? God is taking that disappointment and turning it to divine appointment. He's taking that misalignment and extending your assignment. He's taking the distress and making it a possession. He's taking the trial and turning it into a testimony. And you know where your deliverance came from. It came from the Lord. And rejoice about it. Rejoice about it here and now. And testify of what God has done. Oh, blessed pilgrims today. Oh, precious pilgrims. God loves us so. He loves us with an unconditional love that cannot be broken nor shaken nor moved. Because he so loved us, he gave us Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. If that's not love, I don't know what is. We are his children. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Yes, he knew us when we were but spirit children, when we were what concepts, and we dwelt in the spirit realm. He already knew us. We were identified as those that stood with him and withstood with him. And when we were birthed into the physical realm of existence, that identification tag maintained its mark, its stamp upon us, making us the chosen ones, the chosen vessels. And let me tell you something, from testimonies and from my testimony, oftentimes chosen vessels are picked out. Oh, and some of you have wondered, here's another word of knowledge. I've got to speak this before we go into today's instructional message. We were identified. A chosen vessel is like a moving target. And as a result, one feels picked out to be picked on. But you know what? God is speaking to us saying, I have destined you for excellence. My power abides within you. That what you ask me, I have already given it to you. When you pray, I heard you. And I've already answered your prayer. Don't repeat the prayer. Walk in the praise. Walk in the designation of completion that God is going to physically manifest what you asked and prayed to him for and about. And we're just thanking and praising God today for the power, not only of the word. He said his word will not return unto him void, but accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And God watches. Oh, I love it. He watches over his word to perform it, precious pilgrim, divine children of Almighty God. Oh, he's such a wonderful God. Just thank you, Lord, that you deemed us worthy to be in this vocation. Listen, for your inspirational reading today, we're going to read from the book of Ephesians. 10th verse, 6th chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Is that a word of encouragement or what? For the body of Christ, the edification, imputation of the mission, the assignment that God has set us on. But, word of encouragement, Paul advises us, Apostle Paul, 11th verse, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. While we're walking in the power of his might, we got to seal ourselves that we attain perpetually our redemption from this ignorant society, a society that refuses to accept truth and would choose to walk in error, would choose to delegate darkness instead of light. Tells us to put on our armor, not only to protect us, but to preserve us against the tactics, wiles, or strategies, plans, secret plots of the devil. And I can just almost call him the evil. 12th verse, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means we don't wrestle against people. When people wrongdo you or don't do what they're supposed to do at first with you, don't get mad with the person. Get mad with the spirit that's upon the person. The evil is, the evil devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God said, all their high places I bring down because of the name of Jesus, because of the blood of the redemption that has taken place within you. You are reconnected. You are reunited with me. I give you victory. Apostle Paul said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. But Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You will not err when you know the truth. You may get turned around and turned about, but you will resurface and reface and continue the path that God has paved with you. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, God told us to walk in righteousness. Righteousness means doing the right thing at the right time. And desiring to do so makes you immune to the infectious imputations of the enemy. 15 verse, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. For Jesus is the peace that passeth all understanding, and he will rule your mind and your heart. And he's called the Prince of Peace. And even in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and you know faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, wherewith ye shall be able to quench. When you quench something, you dissolve it. When you're thirsty, you drink water, you have dissolved your thirst. All of the fiery darts of the wicked. That means you're immune. You're immune to these attacks because you know where your help comes from. It comes through God, creator of the universe, the very master of the universe. And take the helmet of salvation. That's right. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Our salvation is obtained through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his redemptive tide. The blood purifies. The water washes clean. Together we become sanctified through the word. His word is truth. And what? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you know that the word of God, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Divide asunder bone and marrow. How much more precision does that get? It does not get any more decision. It can even discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, the concentrations of the mind. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So as you say, pray without ceasing. Pray perpetually. Pray continually. Pray because your life depends on it. Your spiritual life, your natural life. Pray until your enemies are no more. Pray until the opposition has ceased. Pray until peace has been restored, and the multiplicity of God's blessing and his anointing dwells within you perpetually and continuously. This is what we call being dressed for battle. Because the battle is not a physical one. It is a natural one. Now, we praise God today. As we instructed, we're going back to the book of Genesis, the very origins of mankind. And you know what? We see where we came from. And we see where God is bringing us to. Now in the book of Genesis, and God bless your word, open up the windows and the ears of our understanding that we may take heed to thy word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word if I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach us your statutes. Bind Satan on every level in our lives, in our workplaces, our jobs, our careers, in the communities where there's so much violence and inapathy running rampant, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, give us the victory and unite us together through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for healing in the natural and in the spiritual. We thank you for the divine breakthroughs, the miraculous events that are here now and manifesting even as we speak. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, all glory, honor, and praise goes to you. Amen. We are now in the fifth chapter of the book of Generations of Adam. And we're going to just give an overview because we know that this book is quite extensive and we need to get to the next chapter. It gives the genealogy of mankind and his existence in the natural realm. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam and the day that God created man in his likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day which they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and at his image and called his name Seth. We already know that Cain was exiled because of what he did to Abel. He murdered him out of envy. This is the first case of criminal behavior ever recorded, known to mankind. And Adam lived 130 years, as we know. And in the days of Adam, as he begot Seth, was 800 years. And he begot sons and daughters. Wow. Isn't that something? This is like looking at the census. And then the days of Adam lived were 919 years, and he died. That means his spirit departed from his physical body. And see, the spirit goes back to God. Spirit is breath. It's what makes a person alive. When the spirit and soul are coordinated and functioning in a physical body. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived, after that, he begot Enos 7 years. And begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived. And it goes on and on and on. And we see the generations of mankind upon the earth in the fifth chapter. So when you get time at your own space and disposal, look at the elementation of mankind's origin, all starting with Adam. Let's go to the sixth chapter. And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born of them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So many of you are asking, the sons of man, those were the various types of cultures. They begin to merge. And these individuals took wives. And they went into them, and the women conceived. This is how the earth began populating. So the Big Bang Theory is way out of line. This is how the world began. And civilization was established. And the Lord said, my spirit should not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, there was also, understand this, go to Genesis 1:28, the elementation that God was speaking to Jesus Christ. He was already there. Jesus was at the beginning of civilization. And so was the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there were giants. Giants referred to as Gibeon. In the fourth verse, in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. That means they became famous, and they stood out. When a person is renowned, they're well regarded as a authority figure. And they were born. And God saw the wickedness of man. I mean, man began to stray away and was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That means people started living just to pleasure the flesh. This is the reason why we have to crucify the flesh. When unholy thoughts come to us, we need to stop them. With the helmet of salvation, we're able to safeguard our thoughts because temptations are going to come. But through the power of salvation, we don't have to bend and bow to those thoughts or give ourselves over to those vain imaginations, only elevating the level of the flesh. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You didn't think God had feelings? God is touched by the very essence of our infirmities. God became so distraught with mankind that he even created mankind, because mankind, instead of being the custodians of the earth, they were tearing things down, building idols, having multiple wives, abiding themselves in the ways of idolatry, total disobedience, living like savages, taking from each other, desiring one another's wives, doing things that were not holy, touching things that were disdained as unclean. And it grieved God that he had even made man. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. God just became so distraught with all of this. But Noah, there was one man that stuck out. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Out of all these men upon the earth, Noah captivated God's attention, because Noah was a pure man, and Noah was a just man. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and Noah walked in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That means he was blameless. He was pure in heart. And because of that, God was attracted to him. You know, God can't look upon unrighteousness and abide with it. And this man was not unrighteous. And said, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That's right. I just told you. The abominable behaviors, the greed, the lust, the envy, the covetousness had ransacked society, turned it upside down, and it grieved God, because this is not what God established the earth for. He made it a habitual place for mankind to dwell and be the custodians over the creation. But mankind failed his assignment. But there was one man who wasn't failing, and that was Noah. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, to all flesh had corrupted, what, his way upon the earth. That means they turned society upside down. And God was so angry, he saw this man, Noah, as a bright glimmer of hope. And the 13th verse says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He's telling Noah what to do. 14th verse, before I destroy the earth, you and your family will be spared. But this is what you are given directives to do. When God speaks something to you, speak it. You can put your life on the line and know that it's going to come to pass. He told him, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shall make of it. The length of an ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it.
And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein the breath of life from under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. God is already prophesying and telling Noah what's going to happen. And Noah is listening because he wants to be spared. He and his family, he says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Here's the first covenant we see being established. We all know about the Adamic covenant. Adam was supposed to maintain the integrity of the Garden of Eden by keeping it pristine and not going beyond the perimeters of what God commanded. We've seen the Edenic covenant, in which you're not to eat of the tree of life. That was broken, unfortunately. Now we're getting into the third covenant, which is the Noahic covenant, that God is making covenant with Noah. And he's saying this: but with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two or of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Why? Because male and female are the only two genders together that can multiply and cohabitate and co-produce. Male to male cannot produce. Female to female cannot produce. That is God's divine order, because the earth would have to be reoriginated, rebirthed, and reborn again. Civilization, as they knew it, would be rebirthed and reborn again. So it needed the universal balance of male and female. 20th verse, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. That means to keep the species going. That's right. To keep the manifold of productivity and reproductivity aligning and moving fast pace forward. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That means Noah didn't think about it. He didn't wonder about it. He says, I've got to do it. So we see now the Noahic covenant coming into complacement, into compartmency, that God is going to destroy the earth. He's going to wash the earth clean. It's going to rain for 40 days and for 40 nights. There's something about 40 days and 40 nights. It represents chastisement. And this is what God is about to do. Now, as we go next week into the seventh chapter, we're going to see the results of what Noah did and how things actually took manifestation after the flood. That's right. And then God showed Noah, I'm just giving you some prerequisitional information, that God showed Noah the rainbow sign. Rainbow was beautiful, the beautiful colors of the spectrum, but it was given as a sign that never again would the earth be destroyed with water. So they were talking about, oh, water's going to flood the earth. It's not going to happen again. God said next time it will be what? It will be fire and brimstone next time. And this is what the preparation was. And so before God sends his chastisement, he sends prophets. He sends prophetesses with words of warning and words of wisdom. There is a way out of the wrath of God by taking on the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It will protect us and act as a safeguard around us and with us and within our extended perimeters of our association. So therefore, we must be adherent and listen to the truth. And let me tell you something. It's been a wonderful time of fellowship with you. I was on assignment last week, and I hope and pray that all is well with you. And listen, look up. Look up. Look up. Because your redemption draws nigh. What you've been praying for, what you've been asking God for, to reveal and to send that breakthrough, is already done in the masterful, the matchless name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise God for
for him, for our Savior, and just for our life, for our excellent health, for all that he does for us. And in all things we give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And look, have a glorious, victorious, and miracle-filled week. And you can always reach out to me here at the Blog Talk Radio Network. And this is your host, your instructional facilitator. Let me say it like that. Because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I'm just following the teacher's lesson plan. The Bible is the teacher's lesson plan. That's right. It's the educator's lesson plan. Abby Phelps, known as the Esquire and the Motor City Maharani, saying, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have a glorious and victorious week, for we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week."